Here is Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross and Diana Day in...
Gone Fishing. Now, where's that fishing rod? Ah, here we are. And now the mighty sea hunter prepares to do battle with the dreaded man-eating tiger shark. He picks up his rod, and with one mighty throw, he casts his line to catch the huge monster of the sea.
Ow!
Caught it! Sounds like a sea monster called Susan.
You little horror, you've got the hook caught in my slacks.
Oh, heck. It's no good struggling. I'm reeling you in.
Stop winding that line and let me get the hook free.
Ooh, look what I've caught. A talking tunny fish.
I'll smack you. You and your silly tricks. Fancy playing about like that with the rod and line.
Listen, fish face. Any more trouble from you and I'll throw you back.
Right, I'm definitely telling Grandad about you. Larking about with his fishing rod. He spent all day getting it ready for the fishing competition tomorrow.
Is he going shark fishing?
Of course not, stupid.
Pity, he could have used you for the bait.
I'm warning you, I shall tell him.
All right, but if me Grandad tells me off for playing with his fishing rod, I'll know how he found out.
Aye, Jimmy, I was watching you from the window.
Oh, heck, Grandad, I thought you'd gone.
I was upstairs packing a few things for the fishing trip tomorrow.
That's what I mean, I thought you'd gone for the bottles.
We'll have less of that, young man. And don't let me catch you playing with my rod again, now, you understand?
I'm sorry, Grandad. It was daft. I shouldn't have been messing about with your fishing rod.
Oh, well, I'm glad you agree.
Yeah, when I went after Winnie the Whale here, I should have used a harpoon.
I'm warning you, I'll give you such a smack.
Well, go on, then. Let's see you try. Go on, smack me.
I will if you'll come from behind, Grandad. And when Mother gets here, I'll tell her how cheeky you've been.
Why? Where is she?
At the top of the street there, talking to Mr. Whittle. So you've just got time to hide before she gets back.
And how's your father keeping, Mr. Whittle?
Oh, please, Pat, I've told you 100 times. The name's Harry. Let's not stand on ceremonials.
Oh, all right, Harry.
That's better. Oh, my old dad is marvellous for his age, Pat.
Shall we walk up the street, Harry?
Eh? Oh, I... But, you know, I keep forgetting I live down here now. I keep having these mental abbreviations. Aye, Pat, I'd like to think I'll be as spry as my old dad when I'm 85. Just think he's only got 15 years to go, he'll be a centurion. It's his birthday tomorrow.
Oh, I wish I'd known. I'd have bought him a little present.
Ah, he's not too fussy about presents. There's only one thing he likes to get on his birthday.
What's that?
Roaring drunk. No, that's not true, Pat. He's got a lot quieter in his old age. In fact, as far as drinking's concerned, he's become quite obstreperous. Why don't you pop round tomorrow to wish him many happy returns? He'd love that.
Well, it'll have to be early in the morning. You see, we're going off on a fishing trip tomorrow to a place called Willowbank Village. Do you know it?
Up near Lancaster somewhere. Hmm. It's out in the wilds a bit. I don't know how you'll go on for transport. Don't think you'll find many public conveniences running.
Yeah, well, we heard that, so Humphrey Brocklebank's going to take us all in his car for a day out.
Oh, so Hum doing a bit of fishing himself, then?
No, I don't think he cares for it very much.
Oh, pity. I'd have thought he'd have made a fine spectacle battling to the death with an angry tiddler.
Now, that'll do, Harry. Are you coming in for a minute?
I'll just have a word with Pete there. Hey. What's the row about? Him and young Jim appear to be having fractions.
Now, look, if you don't stop being rude to Susan, there'll be no trip out for you tomorrow.
Well, so what? It's all right for you. You love it. Sat on a riverbank all day, chucking lumps of bread in the water, and all you ever catch is a cold. If you ask me, the fish use your bread to make fish cakes.
What's the matter now, Jimmy? I thought you were looking forward to a day out.
Oh, I would be if we were going to the seaside. I'll have nothing to do where we're going.
You could always go mad and dig for worms.
Yes, sister dear. Like you've been doing all these years. Only the worms you dig up are called boyfriends.
I shan't tell you again. Come on, Susan. You've still got to do my hair for me.
Right, we'll do it now, Mother.
Bye, Mr. Harry. I'll try and call round in the morning.
I do that, Pat. And how's me old pal Jock the Haggis Basher?
Are ye still trying to get money a meckle to mack a muckle?
I'm very well, thanks, Whittle.
Here, you and the other boozers from the pub are off on a fish hunting safari tomorrow.
We're having an angling competition, if that's what you mean.
Well, I suppose it'll be something to pass the time until the pub's open. I take it you go in for the freshwater stuff, Pete.
No, he goes in for draft bitter.
No, Jim. You got me wrong. You see, all fish is divided roughly into two separate categoricals.
Don't you mean catalogues?
You just be quiet, Junival, Jim. So I was saying there's freshwater fish and saltwater fish, of which I have had considerable experience of. Now, when I used to go fishing in the West Indies...
Silence, please, while Wacker Whittle tells us how he caught the tin of salmon with a magnet.
As I was saying, Jim, out in them parts, there's some very ferocious fighting fish. Terrors they are. They call barricades.
In my days in the Merchant Navy, they were called barracudas.
In your days, Pete, the English penny was called a goat. Now, look, there's only one way to catch these fish. It's the special bait. When I caught mine, I baited me hook with a dirty great hunk of rhinoceros meat dipped in antelope fat.
And how do you make antelope fat? Feed him on bread and potatoes.
Do you mind, Jim? You see, Pete, the trick is you drop your line into the water when the Gulf Stream's running due south, because at that time there's hundreds of these fighting fish all swimming about in shawls looking for other fish to eat. They're what they call hereditary.
And you mean you managed to catch one?
That's right, Jim. And to this day, if you're ever in the Rubber Trapper's Arms in Trinidad, you can see my fighting fish in a glass case over the saloon bar, stuffed.
And do you mean you actually caught it with rhinoceros meat?
Why not? I caught you with it, didn't I?
What a pity you're not coming with us tomorrow to Willowbank Village, Whittle. We could have chucked you in the river.
Oh, you wouldn't catch me stopping in the village, not when it's so near to one of my favourite resorts, Markham.
Is it near Markham, then, Mr. Whittle?
Exactly a quarter of an hour, Jim, as the fly crows. There in no time, you know.
And Markham's at the seaside. Now all I have to do is to catch my own special fish.
Hello, everybody, it's me, Alfie.
And here he is. The Finny Haddock himself.
Oh, dear, Alf. I can't stop and have a chinwag. I've got to go and make a cake for my old dad's birthday. Which reminds me, Jim, could I borrow your bicycle pump tomorrow?
Certainly. What do you want it for?
Well, my dad's 85 tomorrow, and he'll need your pump to help him blow all his candles out. Ta-ra!
Ta-ra, Mr. Whittle.
I'm going in the greenhouse, Jimmy. Rhinoceros meat. Of all the stupid tales.
What's your granddad on about, Jimmy?
Oh, nothing, Alfie. Listen, I want to ask you a question. How long is it since you gave our Susan a pleasant surprise?
Yeah, let me think. But there was the other night. She said I gave her a pleasant surprise at the rugby football club dance.
Why? What did you do?
I never tread on your toes.
Lie down while I tread on your mouth. Look, I mean a real surprise that she doesn't know about.
Oh, yeah, I've got a surprise for her, but it's weeks away, yeah.
Why? What is the surprise?
I thought I'd grow a beard.
Oh, I see. You daft apeth. How can you surprise her with a beard? You can't just grow it overnight, you twit. Tomorrow, I want you to take our Susan on a mystery trip on your motorbike.
Hey, that sounds a nice idea, though. No, it wouldn't work, though. I mean, we'd never get there.
Why not?
Well, if it was a mystery trip, I wouldn't know where I was taking her, would I?
Alfie, there's only one mystery I can think of. How you've managed so long with that empty space between your ears. Look, I'll tell you where you could take her.
Where?
Willowbank Village, where we're going. Now, that'd be a pleasant surprise for her, wouldn't it?
Would it?
Of course it would.
Why?
Because you'd... They'd be... I think it'd be easier if she took you on a mystery trip.
Now, don't be like that.
Well, you crack on that you love our Susan, and yet you won't take her anywhere. I'll bet you couldn't find Willowbank Village.
Who couldn't?
You. I can just imagine you asking the way. Excuse me. I've just come from Manchester and on my way to Morecambe. Well, which way do I go from here? Go right down Sekiel Street. Left at Glasgow Station. And straight back over the border.
If you don't stop being funny, I'll give you such a Markham. Did you say Markham?
No, I said Wise, stupid. It's near Markham. Willowbank Village.
But, oh, I like Markham. I borrowed the car once to take my mum and dad to see Markham Illuminations 3 days after they were switched off. Because I thought they were Blackpool. On the way back, we ran into Foggan on this on the M6. Ran out of petrol and my dad had to walk 3 miles to a service station after he got back and poured the petrol and he clouted me with an empty can. Well, yeah, but I like going to Markham.
There's no answer to all that.
There you are, Alfie.
Look out, she's here, Alfie. So you just drop her a gentle hint about tomorrow, the mystery trip.
Yeah, right, Jimmy.
Are you coming in the house, Alfie?
In a minute, Susan, but first I want to ask you something.
What is it?
Would you like to go on a mystery trip to Willowbank Village?
Looks a nice spot, Mrs. Clitheroe, and it's quite near the river.
Yes, Humphrey, it should be quite pleasant under these trees. Yes, we'll sit down here.
Well, shouldn't we check it first? I mean, there might be an ant's nest, and my granddad's got his kilt on.
Now then, Jimmy, you know very well I'm off to do some fishing with the others.
Oh, well, I'll come with you, Grandad.
What for?
To help you with your fishing. Because you know what happens. If they don't bite straight away, you're not off. And by the time you wake up, the fish has eaten your bait and gone for a lie down.
Now, don't worry. I won't be doing any sleeping today, not with a £5 prize at stake.
Oh, yes. Mr. Higginbottom said the landlord of the Rose and Crown hopes you'll win the £5. Because if you don't, he'll have to get you a bigger slate.
Oh, Higgy told you that, did he?
Oh, he didn't tell me himself. He told Ozzy's mum's mum. She told Ozzy's mum. Ozzy's mum told Ozzy, and Ozzy told me. It's marvellous how news gets around, isn't it?
Oh, well, Mr. Clifford Higginbottom better stay out of my way today.
Oh, Higginbottom's here, is he? Well, he should have no difficulty in catching a few poor, defenceless fish. I mean, if he doesn't get them with his rod and line, he's sure to stun them into submission with that stentorian voice of his.
Yeah, he shouts a lot and all. Hey, do you know what Ozzy said about his dad catching fish?
No, James, what?
He invented the steam engine.
Mr. Higginbottom?
No, James, what? That's what you just said.
James.
What? There you are. That's twice you've mentioned him. Are you joining in, Grandad?
Look, what did Ozzy say about Higgy catching fish?
He said if his dad calls for a few pints on the way, he's only got to breathe on his worm and it'll go in the water and drag him out.
Amusing, James. I must remember that one for the vicar.
I've spread the rug on the grass, so we'd better get the stuff unloaded from the car.
I'll go and get the picnic basket.
Yes, I thought you would.
I won't be a minute, Mum.
Well, Pat, I'd better get along to the others and see what I can catch for my trouble.
Well, best of luck, Father.
Oh, yes, Mr. Sinclair. I certainly hope the fish will rise to the occasion.
Very, very funny, Humphrey. Well, I'll be away now. I'll see you later. And mind Jimmy stays out of trouble, Pat.
I'll do my best, Father. Oh, now, where is the young scamp? Jimmy, bring that basket here.
I won't be a minute, Mum.
Oh, no. He's got his mouth full already. Come here.
Would you like to meet Father, Mr. Rockabout?
Pardon, James?
He wants to know if... No, he doesn't want a meat pie. You didn't want to meet Pie, did you?
Not just now, thank you, Mrs. Clitheroe.
Put that basket down here, Jimmy.
Right, Mum.
And behave yourself. We've had enough trouble with you coming here in the car.
What do you mean? If you're talking about the bottle of lemonade, it wasn't my fault you couldn't find the opener.
I know, but there was no need to try and knock the top off on Mr. Brocklebank's dashboard.
Well, I apologised. Are your pants dry now, Mr. Brocklebank?
Just about, Jane.
I mean, if they're not, just say so, and I'll keep watch while you go behind the trees for a minute.
That won't be necessary, James.
I mean, if you want to take him off, you could wrap this rug round you. I'll tell everybody you're me grandad's cousin from Aberdeen.
I am quite all right, thank you.
Well, I'm only thinking about your wet trousers.
Can we please let my trousers drop?
Well, undo your braces then.
Somebody else's trousers will be coming down in a minute. Behave yourself. Look, you and Mr. Brocklebank can go for a walk while I get everything ready for tea.
All right, ma'am. What shall we do, Mr. Brocklebank?
Well, I thought that we might take a stroll along the riverbank and pick a few flowers.
No, no, I couldn't. The excitement would be too much for me.
That'll do, Jimmy. Now, off you go, you two.
All right, ma'am. Come on, Mr. Brocklebank. We'll go and watch the fishing for a bit, and then we'll play a few games. Let's go this way first.
Look, Alfie Hall, will you tell me where we're going?
I can't, Susan. But I could, but I can't. But I mustn't. It's Jimmy's big surprise. Mine, for you. That's why you haven't got to know it. It's a mystery.
You say that again. Isn't this the way the others were going to go with Mr. Brocklebank?
But yeah, no, but I don't know. Look, put your arms around me waist and let's have fun.
I can sit on this bike without having to put my arms around you.
Yeah, but then it won't be fun. Look, Susan, over them fields, Blackpool Tower.
Straight ahead of us.
That's right, so we must be heading straight for... Oh,
what's the matter?
They're a wrong mystery. Road, trip, road. Put your right hand out, Susan.
What for? To see if it's raining?
Yeah, no, I'm going to turn to get on the other road.
To Willowbank Village.
Yes. Oh, you shouldn't have told me that. I'm not supposed to know. You're not. It's Jimmy's surprise. Mine, I mean.
I wish I knew what this was all about. Still, I'll find out when we get there. Don't worry. Well, that brother of mine is up to his tricks, causing trouble as usual.
For the last time, James, I am not going to attempt a crossing of the river by tightrope.
Why not? It's strong enough and the water's not all that deep.
Will you stop this nonsense and give me that rope?
What are you going to do? Lasso a few cows?
I am seriously thinking of tying you to a tree so that I can get some peace and quiet. What's that you've just picked up?
I think it's a tail feather off a wood pigeon. Bend down, Mr. Brocklebank.
Bend down? What for?
I'm not going to tickle you. There you are.
James, I do not want a feather in my hair.
Well, it'll look daft in your ear hole. You've got to have a feather. We're playing cowboys and Indians. I'm Sheriff Jim and you're the Indian brave running deer. Now, you've caught me without me posse. And you're chasing me. Do a war whoop.
A war whoop?
Yeah, you know, finger in your mouth, deep breath. Oh! Now, you have a go.
Oh.
Is that supposed to be an Indian war whoop?
Why, what's wrong with it?
Sounds like a short-sighted cuckoo trying to hatch out an ice cube. Now, come on, after me. A whoop like mad. Oh.
No, very well.
Hey, belt up, you're frightening the fish away.
Pardon? Oh, it's you, Higginbottom.
Yeah. Hey, let's have a look. It's Bessie Brocklebank, the wood nymph. What's the feather in your hair for?
We're playing cowboys and Indians. He's a Sioux.
Is he? He looks like a sweet Sioux to me.
Higginbottom, that joke is not very funny.
Look out, Mr. Higginbottom. I think you're going to be scalped.
Yes, and you're about to be belted, you little load of trouble.
Now, don't you go threatening the boy, sir. You seem to forget he has a man here to protect him.
That's right. By the way, where is me grandad?
He's down the back there. Now, listen, if you're going to hang about here, not one sound from the pair of you. Understand?
Yes, Mr. Higginbottom. We won't make a sound.
Good.
Thank you.
look, Susan, Jimmy and Mr. Bicklebink. Hello, Mr. Bucklebunk. Oh, that's up on the bank.
Shut your stupid great trap, you balmy half-baked nincompoop.
It's the vicar, Alfie.
Shut up. Switch that thing off, Alfie.
You what?
Switch the bike off.
Hang on while I switch the bike off. Well, we're here, Jimmy.
Shut up.
We're here, Jimmy. Oh, I was surprised to see Mr. Higginbottom here.
Oh, really, Alfred? Well, I wasn't, but then I saw the notice board over there.
What notice board?
Beware of the bull.
Right, stand back, Clitheroe. You're about to witness the end of the last of the Mohicans. Come here, Brocklebank.
Now, Higginbottom, let go! Higginbottom!
It's all right, Mum. It's Big Chief Higginbottom and his squaw.
What are you two doing?
The squaw dancing.
Oh, just shut up, you. Susan, Alfie, how did you get here?
That's what I keep asking myself. We've been down more wrong roads than they've got on the map.
Higginbottom, will you kindly let go of my head?
I'm sorry, Brocklebank. There was something going up your nose and I wanted to stop it.
Was it a bee?
No, his breath. Now, look, will you all clear off somewhere else? I'll never catch anything with all this racket going on.
Right, come over here, the lot of you. I don't know why you're here, Susan, but you can give me a hand with the food hamper. Come on.
Right, Mother. It's our Jimmy. He's got Alfie to come all this way. I'd love to know why.
So would I. Jimmy, would you mind telling me why I'm here?
That's simple. The stork got lost on his way to the zoo, so he followed your dad's homing pigeon. Ball.
No, I threw it right towards it, caught me foot in a rabbit hole and fell flat on my face.
I'll bet that gave the rabbits a laugh.
Look, the bag. Why do we keep throwing this ball then?
You have to pass the time till the coast is clear.
Oh, I think. No, I don't.
Look, there's the ball. Under Mr. Brocklebank's car. I'll squeeze under the front and get it. No, ow! Ooh.
Well,
ooh, I've banged my big end on his bumper. Got it. Now, I'll just wriggle back. Oh, heck.
What's the matter now?
I've got a wire tangle round my foot. Come off, you gaff. Look at... that's it.
You're all right.
Just about. You should see under Mr. Brocklebank's old banger. It's all pieces of string and cross wires. I think he's tried knitting his own engine.
I know. And when you hear it running, you've got a fair idea how many stitches he dropped.
Yeah, thank goodness your bike's reliable, Alfie.
Oh, yeah. It's just been tuned.
Well, don't look now, but one of your tyres is B-flat.
Yeah? Oh, you and your daft jokes.
I know. I'll tell you some more on the way to Morecambe.
Oh, all right. I like a good laugh. Bye-bye. How are we going to Morecambe?
You see... We're just going to disappear for an hour.
Oh, another mystery trip.
Yes. So when you're taking our Susan home tonight and she asks you where we went, say nothing. Just keep your throttle open and your mouth shut. Well, Alfie, it's nearly 2 hours since we set off for a jolly time in Morecambe. And here we are, still on the blinking way there.
Oh, now, look, Jimmy, I didn't know my bike was going to break down.
Well, I'm fed up. All I've done is walk up and down this road, listening to the cows chewing grass. The only bit of fun I've had was when that farmer thought you were a poacher and took a shot at you.
Now, it's all your fault. You dragged us here. Oh, I've been on the go all day. I'm worn out.
Well, have a lie down on the road. There's a car coming.
Where?
There. Get your thumbs up. Show a leg.
It's going the wrong way.
I know that. It's Mr. Brocklebank looking for us. Mr. Brocklebank! We're here! Stop!
Hello, is that you, James and Alfred?
No, I'm Dick Turpin and this is Black Bess. Hand over your watch.
Oh, cheer up. Oh, am I glad to see you, Mr. Bucklebunk.
What's going on?
Oh, hello, Susan. Maybe he got me to take him to Morecambe, but we never got there because I hit a pothole and a farmer tried to shoot me, and that's how I got my chin rocket busted. But do you still love me?
Of course she does. Go on, Susan. Pat his head and give him a biscuit.
I'll pat you lower down, you young monkey.
Oh, heck. Hello, ma'am. I didn't see you in the dark there.
Mm. Of all the troublemaking wee scamps I've ever known, he's the worst.
Grandad as well? Did he catch anything, Grandad?
Aye, a lovely big pike. It must wait. Don't change the subject.
Oh, dear. I'm afraid that we're in trouble.
What's the matter, Humphrey?
Well, I've just noticed my side lights. They're not working, nor my rear lamps.
Oh, no.
I don't understand it. They were all right last night. There must be a wire loose.
Hey, Jimmy, perhaps it's the one that got caught around your... How? Around your foot. My foot, I mean.
What wire are you talking about, Alfie?
Well, Jimmy crawled under the car this afternoon to get his ball back, and he got tangled up with it. The wire.
This is the limit. You wee meddling... Jimmy, where are you?
Just getting Mr. Brocklebank's tool bag out of the boot. I'm looking for a big spanner.
James, the fault is electrical. I don't need a spanner.
No, but I do. To tighten Alfie's nut, he's got a screw loose.
Well, here we are, home at last, thank goodness.
Oh, you've been wonderful, Humphrey. I'm sorry the police booked you about your lights.
Yes, but at least the AA man fixed them, and Alfred's bike. I don't think I will have any trouble with the law.
All the same, you deserve a medal for what you've had to put up with today.
No, please, don't apologise. It wasn't your fault that James decided to help.
Well, I thought it was a good idea, telling the policeman it wasn't your car.
A wonderful idea. I had to spend 10 minutes convincing the man that I hadn't stolen it.
Well, rest assured, Humphrey. This young man is going to pay for his sins just as soon as I get back from the Rose and Crown.
Oh, well, Mr. Sinclair, it's all over now. And the day has not been without its pleasures. The picnic, the lovely pike you caught.
Aye, perhaps you're right, Humphrey. Higginbotham says he thinks I'm a certainty to win the £5 with it.
Will you be stopping for supper, Mr. Brocklebank? It's pike and chips.
All right, never mind the comedy. Just get my fish basket out of the boot, then I'll know it's safe.
Where is it? Oh, here we are. Here's your basket.
Good. Now I'll just away and... This isn't it.
You what?
This is the picnic basket. Where's mine, Jimmy?
Well, it should be here, because when I got the tool bag out at Willowbank, I had to put the basket down in the grass. So if this is the picnic basket, yours must be... I think I'm going to faint.
My fish. My lovely big pike. You've left it behind you, young scamp. I'll murder you. Come here.
Grandad, don't. I'm sorry about the fish. Let me go. I'll buy you a tin of sardines. Help!
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Diana Day as Susan, Tony Melody as Mr. Higginbottom, Brian Truman as Mr. Whittle, and Colin Edwin as Humphrey Brocklebank. The recorded programme was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
Just about fish. They lie down, but they don't sit down. Perhaps they've got Grandad who spanked their bottoms as well. Oh, I am sore. Ta-ra! Thank you. Tell your boyfriend, Alfie Hall, about Loppy Lugs.
Who?
The bloke with the big ears who brought you home in his car last night at 10:30, after it had gone dark.
That was Harry Stevens from our office. We'd been working overtime together and he just happened to give me a lift home.
So. There must have been no safety belt on your side. So he was holding you in your seat with one arm while the car was stood still.
You should have been christened Peeping Tom, not Jimmy.
Yes, you were stuck out there for over 20 minutes.
He couldn't get his car started.
No wonder, with you holding both his hands.
You know that's not true. We were just sitting and talking, and if you try and cause any trouble between Alfie and me, you'll regret it.
Sorry, Alfie. Did I accidentally stick this fish hook in it?
What's going on here?
Nothing. Alfie was just telling me about a marvellous surprise he's got planned for you. Weren't you, Alfie?
Oh, yeah. Susan, if I don't see you for a few weeks, do you think you'll like me in a beard?
She'll like you whether she's grown a beard or not.
Oh, look at that. Not Susan with the beard, me. Oh, never mind. Look, Susan, Jimmy and me were talking.
Yes, talking a lot of rubbish by the sound of it. What have you been saying to Alfie?
I never said a thing. All I did was agree with him about this marvellous idea.
What idea, Alfie?
Oh, it's a smashing idea. But much better than the beard when I tell it to you. You'll think it is as well. No, not better than the beard, just a good idea. So could I have a word with Jimmy about it first?
Why?
I've forgotten what it was.